I would ask the Lord to fill the atmosphere with peace, but the atmosphere is already full of peace because I already asked. Hallelujah. Well, I don't know what I'm going to say. It doesn't matter what I say. If it's not filled with what he's saying. So God, I thank you right now for the spirit of wisdom, revelation, the knowledge of you. I thank you, God, for the testimony of Jesus being the spirit of prophecy. Thank you for filling the very air that we breathe with electric life from the throne room of heaven in the glory realm. Thank you. Just keep filling the atmosphere, filling it with the presence of God. Thank you, God, for the holy angels, the ministering spirits of fire, burning away all chaff and darkness. Everywhere where there's darkness, God, let there be light. The light of Christ Jesus, the hope of manifested glory. In Jesus' name. I got my Pellegrino. I was fantasizing about it, so I went and made this dream a reality by going to Costco and picking up a case of this stuff. Actually, I went to Superstore. Costco only had the plastic bottles. You know, plastic, man. The whole experience of this is the glass. The sea of glass. Thank you, Lord. Shubba. I felt impressed with just Jesus. I was laying on my bed the other day thinking about what I should talk about in this next series, this new season of videos, and it always seems to be like the same thing, prophesying into the atmosphere, encounters with God. And what else is there in this world that's enjoyable apart from God? I enjoy this world with God. It's all the more enjoyable. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for life more abundantly in the Spirit. As we walk through this world in our earth suits, you know that everything in the natural came out of the invisible realm. Everything in this visible realm with these YouTube videos came out of the invisible realm. And it was created through man into the visible realm. You know, like in the beginning God created, so that's his nature, is to create, and he's put that nature inside of man, so that's why we create. You can tell religion, because religion is just copycat. Listen, Satan doesn't have anything, he copycats everything. He's a copycat, he's religious. You can tell the first nature that's manifested of what God is like is in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God created. If there's no creativity in your life, check your God meter. How much of God is manifesting through you? In the beginning, God created. So that's his nature. That's his character. And all men have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We've lost the image of God, which is true creativity. And it's easy to tell when you've been in the presence of religion, because it's all copycat. Yeah, we can repeat what Jesus says, but is there spirit life to manifest what he's saying now? Or is it just like we're just being like parrots, repeating what everyone else is saying, but without any power to bring the change into the now? You know, he's not a dead God living in a church building. He's a living God living in spiritual stones. The body of Christ, the true building, is spiritual. It's not natural. And, hallelujah. So I was, religious. Religion is just copycatting what everyone else is doing. I mean, it's okay for a season to copy what other people are doing, like, because you find out what works and what's fake. But when you want to only do what you see your father doing and only say what you hear your father saying, so you're not just copying man, you're copying the blueprints of heaven so that it can be on earth as it is in heaven by releasing those blueprints into the earth. And that's why I make these videos, to speak of the testimony of Jesus so that you can have the exact same encounters that people have in the Bible. It'll be different for you because it's personal to you. I mean, from the beginning of the Bible to the end of the Bible, people are having experiences with God like Enoch, Moses, Elijah, getting caught up in a whirlwind, you know, Ezekiel, seeing the throne, seeing heaven, seeing God. You know, it's all throughout the Bible. And these men, the reason they had these experiences is because they wanted God. They had a relationship with Him. They didn't have a relationship with the Torah or the Holy Scriptures. They had a relationship with the Spirit, and they penned down what we call today the Scriptures. And it's the same thing for you today. It's like, you can have a relationship with the Bible, that's fine. That's dead letter. It's the Spirit that gives life to that letter and makes it a reality in your life. It's the Spirit that is life. So you want a relationship with the letter. Jesus said, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. Or you search the Scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life, but you won't come to me. Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. And when He appeared to the disciples at the breaking of bread after they walked on the road to Emmaus, He disappeared from their natural sight because God is Spirit and He wants to be pursued in the Spirit. You know, we walk by faith, not by natural sight. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of the Spirit of God. It's by the hearing the Father's voice. And it may be through the written word. It may be through someone saying, thus saith the Lord. It may be through the testimony of Jesus, where we just speak of our testimonies, of our encounters with God that has spiritual substance on it, that breaks something off of you so that you realize, wow, there's more. It's not just going to church every Sunday and singing the hymns and reading the Bible and trying to be a good person. Jesus didn't die for that. Jesus died so that you could die in Him and raise in Him and sit with Him in heavenly places, far above all the bullcrap of religion. You can sit with Jesus in heavenly places in Christ. That means if you're seated there, you're above all that darkness. If you're seated there, you can hear His voice. My sheep hear My voice and they follow Me, and I give them eternal life. And the voice of another, they will not follow. They don't follow religious demons because they've learned to hear the voice of Jesus Himself. Well, how do you know the voice of God and the voice of a religious demon, you might ask? Well, have you ever just knelt down and cried out to God from your heart and then nothing happened? Why don't you stay there a little bit longer? Cry out to God from the depths of your heart until the depths of the realm of God just comes crashing through you, so that the love of God that passes knowledge, like understanding, the love of God that passes all human convincing will just overwhelm you, and you'll know that you had an encounter with God. That cannot be faked. Someone might say, well, you had an emotional experience. Damn straight I did. You don't think Moses got emotional when he was exceedingly fearful and quaked in the presence of God? You don't think John got emotional when he was laying on his face like a dead man before Jesus? Listen, they were having encounters, and your natural emotions will go on overdrive. It wasn't just an emotional experience. It was the Spirit of God triggering them into absolute ecstasy and absolute fear of the Lord. Absolute awe and wonder. You know, it was more than an emotional experience. It's what triggered that emotional experience is what counts. That's called Spirit. And listen, people can have emotional experiences out of their soul too, and that's just like whatever. Get healed. You know, people cry, doesn't mean God's touching them. It just means they have problems or something in their life. Yeah, I might go over some of the. I remember standing on this altar, or this guy, Kevin Prosh, came and he said something. There's angels coming in here. And then, boom, the heavens open. I felt it. I felt that spiritual substance go right through me. And I remember looking around. I saw this woman, tears rolling down her face. She felt it too. wasn't just having an emotional experience. She was having a spiritual experience that was like in the river of life through out of her eyeballs, man. And so I closed my eyes, had my hands raised, and I just worshiping Jesus. Like, who cares about that? Thank you for the angels. But they're just, I'm after Jesus. I'm after God. I want to see Him because He's the most powerful of all. He's the creator, the one who created the angels. Yeah, thank you for the angels, Lord, but I want to see You. That's the goal and the treasure of my heart is to see Him. So, He gave this thing. I can't remember what He was talking about. He says, like, whoever wants this and this, or whoever's in this situation, I don't remember what it was, something about the natives, and I'm part native. So, I had the legal right to go up there. He said, come to the front. So I went running to the front. I was the first one there. I looked up at him. Like, is it okay if I come up there? Like, all the way up on the stage or whatever? He's like, he just waved me on. And as I was standing on the stage, it was like the veil came off of my eyes. And I could see in both realms. I could see in the spirit realm and I could see in the natural realm simultaneously. And there was this 14-foot being standing right in front of me, but maybe 1, 2, 3, about 5, 6 feet away from me. He was like 14 feet tall. I could see he was like the silhouette of this powerful being. I began to shake because the power coming from this being, it put absolute dread through me. It was an angel. It was just an angel. And I was shaking. There was no way I could stop myself from shaking, but it felt good. There was so much power that I realized I could die if I think impure thoughts, if I have like a lustful thought, or if I just think something wicked. I could die because there's way too much power. It's out of my control. And listen, this is just an angel. And I could see he was looking at us. There was like a couple of other people came and piled up beside us. And they were like, Shakaraba. There were all these native people praying in tongues. And I'm like in awe at the power of God manifesting through one angel. And I can't remember what happened. I just left like snot, tears, everything pouring down my face. I had an emotional experience. How about that? So did the people beside me. They had an emotional experience. Because we were experiencing a spiritual reality. God created the heavens and the earth. God created this angel. And He filled him with power. Did you know that you are created in the image of God too? To manifest power. The power of God, so that it's well known around you, whoever's around you. As you more you submit yourself to God, whatever you Larry, the area that you've submitted to God, God will use that and pours Himself through you. So I stood before this angel and I didn't say anything. Well, I didn't want to say anything. I just wanted to stay there in that presence. But the power kind of scared me because my body was shaking. Just like Moses. He said, it's written of him that I exceedingly fear and shake, or something like that in the Old Testament. And so I went down after that. We did some more worship. It was good. Then later on that evening, I had this ministry where I would go to the street church and preach. And I said, God's face is towards you. What are you going to do about it? If God's face is towards you, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to just ignore Him? Are you going to turn your face towards Him to get a look at Him? See what He's saying? And not too many people responded. Because not too many really care if God's face is pointed towards them. Why? Because they don't know. They don't believe in God. But it takes an encounter like that to just, you know that you know, and no one can convince you that God's not real. That was just an angel manifesting a heavenly reality of the presence of God. So it's knowing, not just in knowledge, like I've read the Bible, yeah, I whatever, it's good. Thank you for the historical Jesus. But the Jesus today and now, listen, You need to have an experience with God so that you can walk in revelation of what God is like and manifest what God is like. He's absolute power and He's absolute mercy. He's absolute fierce truth and judgment that will take a sword and cut you. And He's absolute grace because He knows the the condition that we are in, that we are in a war. We've been in a war for 6,000 years. And there's two kingdoms clashing. You may think it's your emotions. One day you're in a terrible mood and you want to cuss someone up. And the next minute you're just happy. Like, what the heck just happened? Why did I do that to that person? I don't even know that person, man. Hallelujah. So, it's just getting to know reality. And the only true form of reality that I know of is the spirit realm, getting to know God, the creator and author of it. And it's pretty clear afterwards once you find out what's real and what's fake, which is religion and which is reality. Kingdom reality, not just like a bunch of people, cookie cutter Christians trying to teach you about their Sunday school. That's fine. But I want more than cookie cutter Christians teaching me at Sunday school. We shall all be taught of the Lord. The Lord Himself, God the Spirit, will teach you. You have no need that any man teaches you. Or that anointing will teach you. The anointing teaches you. The anointing is the one who you hear within someone's teaching in their voice. If you can't hear what the Spirit is saying through the teaching, you're wasting your time. If you can't hear what the what the Spirit is saying through even when you read the Bible, why are you reading the Bible? You want to debate people? That's the fruit of the flesh. Read Galatians 5. I read the Bible because I want to get to know God. Just last week, I went through the entire Bible 1.5 times, and it was so freaking boring. I told God in prayer, as I lay in my bed, I said, God, I don't even want to listen to the Bible anymore. I'm bored. I want spiritual substance filling those words. I want to hunger after You so that that word can come alive. I'm tired of the dead letter. Bring it alive to me, God. And He did. The next day I woke up and I just read Matthew chapter 5, 6 and 7 out loud into the atmosphere, and I was feeling a lot of peace. So I made a quick video about it back there, and there was some experiences that I had with walking down this narrow path with God. And He showed me something. He reminded me that we are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. So come out of hiding, manifest the light. And don't be religious about it. Putting shackles and chains on people and binding them with scriptures. That's what the scriptures are for. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Let people do what they want to do and make their own decisions. You demonstrate your relationship with God and then they make the decision. That's what Jesus did. He walked the street. He told them straight up, the Pharisees that, if you don't believe that I'm He, you will die in your sins. There's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But He demonstrated the kingdom. They would say, no man ever spoke like this man. Even the guards, because he would just speak what His Father is saying. And the things that I'm speaking to you is what I've seen, what I've heard in the Spirit. I remember kneeling down at an altar. I don't even know God. I just went up and in rebellion against my mother's word. Because they were giving some altar call at this church, I can't remember what it was about. And then I said, I'm going to go up there. And Mom's like, no, you don't understand. And then next thing she knows, I'm gone. I needed to be there. I was a rebellious little punk. I'm still rebellious against any demon, I'm still a little bit rebellious. Lord's still delivering me, but you know what? I'm working on my salvation with fear and trembling. So I run up to this altar and I kneel down. And I remember looking at the pastor. He's just putting his hands on people. And he's walking towards them. And I'm kneeling down. I could feel the peace of God coming. Like this peace. I've never felt it before. It goes right through me. And I was like, oh my God, it's beautiful. And I started weeping. I was like a 10 or 11 year old boy. Just a little boy. Weeping at these stairs. As this man is getting closer. Putting his hands on people. And this is the first time that I ever heard the audible voice of God. Holy Spirit said to me, God is inside of that man. And I looked at him, I started weeping even more. And he got closer to me. He was like maybe 3 or 4 people away from me. He's just praying for them. He's like, fire. And he's getting the next person, fire. And he gets to me, he puts his hand on me, and he's like, fire of the Holy Ghost. And the fire of God, what I was feeling that made me cry, got like 10 times stronger. And it went through my entire body. It went through my entire soul. Right into my spirit, man. And this, whatever it was 10 times stronger. In tears. And I had no more excuses. Is God real or not? My excuses were stripped away by the fire of God, the reality of God. No one had to tell me that God was real. I experienced God. That's the tree of life. The tree of religion, called the knowledge of good and evil, is knowledge about God that never brings you into the experience of God. Life is experience. Try having a marriage without any interaction with your wife or your husband if you're a female. That's dead. You're just going to read letters about from your wife that you never ever get to encounter. And it's never in response to something that you've written. It's only just like a one-way letter from her to you. Your letters don't get through. That's religion. That's the knowledge of good and evil. It's dead letters. No life to it. The tree of life is experience. It's fruit. It's life. You can taste and you can see. Because you've tasted Him, you can see that He's good. Your spiritual perspective and vision opens up so you can see the kingdom realm. Just like me as a little boy, that man, God was inside of that man. And God came through that man's hands, through the laying on of hands, right into me. And boom, I experienced it through God. Stripped all my excuses. I still remember the feeling. I still remember just the way it was all set up. It's just as a little boy. And it impacted me for the rest of eternity. Not the rest of my life. The rest of eternity. I always remember that. It's my first encounter with God. The Spirit. You know, they that worship God must worship God in the Spirit and in truth. It's in the Spirit. It's in that realm where that Holy Spirit went right through me. And in truth, it's like sincerity in Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. It's in Christ. You can't even worship God unless you're in Christ. What are you doing? Singing songs? Are you having choir practice? The Father is seeking those who will worship Him in spirit and in truth. He's seeking those. Why? Because God is spirit. And you connect spirit to spirit. Like pouring a glass of water into another glass of water, they become one. Just boom, right in the spirit. Another time I was standing in a meeting, I went to this brand new church. And I saw, like, I was looking at the dove on this side, I was looking at the cross on that side, I was looking at the architecture. I was like, wow, this is a pretty cool place. A nice, big, open PA. I was checking out the PA system. And then God spoke to me audibly again in the spirit. He said, I love this place. And I'm looking around, man looks at the natural things, but God's looking at the heart. You know the scripture, but do we actually know what it means in the spirit? I'm looking at the natural things. I'm looking at the outward appearance. But God was looking at the hearts of the people. They were in the midst of worship. There was an anointing there. And God says, I love this place. He wasn't talking about the buildings made by the hands of man. He's talking about the buildings made by God's hands, a spiritual house in Christ. And he said, I love this place. It's not where the people were in the natural, it's where the people were in the spirit and in truth, in Christ. They were worshiping Him. True worship is sacrifice. True worship is surrender. The first mention of worship in the Bible is when Abraham was going to sacrifice his son. He said, we're going to go over the hill and we're going to worship. And then Abraham took his son. Abraham was going to lay his son down on an altar and sacrifice him to God because God told him to. And he said, we're going to go worship. Worship is obedience and surrender to God. He called that worship. And then he said, we're going to come back. He had faith that God would even raise his son from the dead. And he did. God raised his son from the dead for us. You know? Hallelujah. He's the sacrifice. He's the lamb. For our sake. For all were dead. And all are made alive in Christ now. You know, his crucifixion is your crucifixion and my crucifixion too. And if it's his crucifixion is your crucifixion and my crucifixion too, then his resurrection is your resurrection and my resurrection too. He is the resurrection power of God. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, if you've let him be your Lord and Savior and your master of your life, the same Spirit, the same Holy Spirit that went through me as a little boy, the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives and dwells in you. You are the temple of the Holy Ghost if you made him your Lord and Savior. And it's legit. Right on. Got some relatives visiting with me. And I know I missed yesterday's video because we were all blissed out in the, just we went to this waterfall and the people were jumping in the water and it was glorious, huh? Hey, bro. Yeah, man, we had a really fun time. And the day before that, we went to the ocean. We saw the sunset and my brother-in-law and my sister here and their two children and my, what do you call those things? Not niece, but the nephews. And they went into the Pacific Ocean and wrestled for the first time in their life. They can tell people that they wrestled in the Pacific Ocean. Hallelujah. And we're just having a really fun time, relaxing outside. And I thought I'd just make a video because I'd give you an update of what's happening. You know, it's okay to enjoy the earth. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. But life is more abundant when you enjoy the earth and you enjoy God who created the earth, because His Spirit can live, move, and dwell and have His being in you while you enjoy the earth. There's nothing wrong with enjoying the earth. I love the earth. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish but have everlasting life. That just doesn't mean that you're going to exist forever. Eternal life is Him. It's like life more abundantly, life better than just existing in a natural state. It's like you're in two realms. You're in the spirit and you're in the natural realm. So you can enjoy two realms at the same time. You can enjoy the natural realm, the beauty that God created, the sunsets, the water, the waterfalls, the jumping, you know, the family, the communion. You can enjoy the spirit realm, the angels, the power of God, the river of life, the fruit of the Spirit. You can walk in heaven. You don't have to wait until you die to see heaven. Because His crucifixion is your crucifixion too. And His resurrection is your resurrection too. Well, where did He raise me to then? If He's the resurrection and the life, where did He raise me to? Do you not know that you are seated with Christ in heavenly places? Set your affections on things above, not on the earth. Set your affections on things above and the affections will be pure to the things of the earth. It'll purify and refine it. It's fun. Freedom. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. It is not for religion that Christ, you know, Christ did not come to the earth to start a religion. The devil does that. Christ came to the earth to show us what God is like, and God is fun. If you ever go to a church meeting and it's boring, that's because you're going into a religious service. You know what God says about religious services in Isaiah chapter 1? Your feasts weary me. I hate them. God hates church too, boring religious services, because they don't even allow Him to move. They don't allow Him to come in. It's all about the man and the Bible. You know, now how about the man Christ Jesus and the living Word of God that's given those words life? That's a better way. Yeah, I really enjoy life. I enjoy spirit life. And I let the overflow of it flow into my natural realm. I mean, you can play guitar to perform. That's good. I mean, I've done that. I used to play in bands and in bars and stuff like that. I was not good enough to be famous. But I found a better way. When I first came out here, I used to sit in my garage and I'd be like, "Amazing World!" Like, I'd be screaming at the top of my lungs. My poor mama, she was a little bit older. She's used to like, "Hallelujah," you know, just choir boy stuff. I ain't nothing wrong with that. I sing hallelujah too, man. But I didn't know how to transition from like Kurt Cobain screaming, Pantera, like just screaming at the top of my lungs to like singing hallelujah with my normal, you know, little choir boy voice. I don't even like my regular voice. I like to scream a lot because I get passionate. But I had it full blast in the garage. My mom started praying. Man, I used to get mad sometimes when she would pray because she'd make me, I end up giving stuff away. I gave away my drum set. I'm like, "Mom, quit praying. I need that stuff." I just have these desires to give stuff away, you know, because God's a giver. For God so loved the world that he gave, you know, it's in his nature. And you give all this stuff away and I'm like, "Quit praying, Mom. I need my musical equipment." And anyways, I was sitting in my room one day and God said to me, "I want you to lay your guitar down." What? That can't be God. I mean, I'm a worshiper. I'm trying to sing songs to Jesus, you know? "Hey, Chris, I want you to lay your guitar down." Lay my guitar down? I started crying, man. I was like, "Jesus, how am I going to worship you? That's my identity. You want me to lay this guitar down, and what am I going to do? I can't play guitar anymore? How am I going to sing songs to you?" He didn't say anything. So I sat there and I cried for like, I don't know, like 2 minutes. Like, "God, why? Doesn't make sense. Why?" And then I said, "Okay. Guitar is yours, God. I lay it down. I lay my guitar down. It's yours. What else do you want? I surrender everything to you, God." And he said to me, "Pick it up. Pick it up and worship me. Pick it up and I'll give you songs from above. Pick it up and you'll deliver people. I'll deliver people by my spirit through the songs that I write through you. Pick it up now and I will use you. And not your own strength anymore. You don't have to scream in the garage and scare your mama. Pick up that guitar. It'll be a tool for me to bring glory to my name." Holy cow. I picked it up, started singing songs to Jesus. He started giving me real songs. When I would play it, an atmosphere would fill the room. People would get delivered from demons. People would get delivered from depression. People would get delivered from all sorts of... You could feel someone come in the room with stuff. And I'd play my guitar and worship God in the spirit and in truth. And I'd feel the spirit go right out of my spirit. Just bam! And hit them. And I would get songs. I would get like songs in my dreams. I'd hear the song in the spirit. And I'd write down the lyrics and put a melody. You know, wow, it felt so good. Just like Abraham laying down, "God, I'll go into worship. I'm going to give you my son. I don't understand this. This is the son. This is the son of promise." But Abraham laid down his son before God. And then God provided a sacrifice. It was just, he wanted to see how far Abraham would go in worship. Are you going to obey me all the way? Or are you just going to stop and save a little for yourself? How far are you going to go with God? So Abraham believed that God would even raise his son from the dead. I didn't know what was happening. I just thought God was just going to strip me of everything and start all over, which he did. He stripped away my pride and my false identity. Your identity is not in anything in this world. You have two identities, but one's fallen. Your true identity is in heaven. Or else how are you supposed to be the light of the world if you're just in the world? You're in the world, but not of it. You're born from above. And you manifest the light from above into the world below. If you're the light of the world, that means that the light must be in darkness if it needs a light. So you're the light of the world. That's what the Holy Spirit took me along that pathway and showed me. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Come out of darkness and walk in the light and manifest the light of Christ Jesus Himself. Be free, demonstrate your freedom, and don't condemn. Show them freedom. Because Satan is the accuser and the condemner. You're the releaser of life, because the first Adam was something and the second Adam is a life-giving spirit. That's what you're to be, is a life-giving spirit. Life more abundantly giving spirit. Life from above giving spirit. So I picked up my guitar again and it became God's tools. Moses was walking and he saw a burning bush. He turned aside to see this great sight. Why is this bush not being burnt up? That'd be kind of strange too. I think I would turn around myself and look at that. And then God spoke out of the bush. The angel of the Lord spoke out of the bush. He says, I came down to bring you up. Who did Jesus do? Jesus came down from heaven to bring up the entire body of Christ. He said, I came down to bring you up. And then Moses, God gave Moses this assignment to deliver his people, the Israelites, out of bondage, out of Egypt. Egypt is symbolic of the world. And he said, throw your stick down, Moses. I want you to put your guitar down, Chris. Moses, I want you to put your son down on an altar. See this repeating pattern, what God is doing? He says to Moses, I want you to lay down your stick. Throw it down. And you know, like, but God, this is my walking stick. This is my crutch. This is my identity as a shepherd. You want me to throw my stick down? Moses obeyed God, even though he didn't understand. He threw the stick down, and it turned into a snake. Whoa! I would probably grab an axe and or run away or just, you know, kill that freaking thing, man. It's going to bite me. Then God says to him, pick it up. What? You just told me to lay it down and I was a snake. I'm not going to touch a snake. That's demonic. You know? Wonder what's going through his natural mind. Eh? He's getting a little bit renewed there, having an encounter with God. Hallelujah. So Moses obeys God again. And he goes and picks up the snake. Grabs it by the tail. Not the head. He grabs it by the tail. At risk of it swinging around and biting him. Did you know? You know that you're supposed to grab a snake by the head so that it cannot bite you. You may wrap around you, but if you grab it by the tail, you gotta trust God that it's gonna turn back into a stick. Wow. Either that or he just had no idea what was going on and didn't know what he's doing. But I'm pretty sure he did. So he grabs the snake, it turns back into a stick, and it wasn't Moses' staff anymore. It became the rod of God.
Refreshments.
Yeah, they'll be back soon. They're off at Costco getting some farmer sausage. Hallelujah. So, yeah. So when he laid down his stick.
Right on, I've been listening to you.
Yeah, right on. Enjoy. I feel a lot of peace right now, Holy Spirit. Yeah, just whack Dave, God, fill him up. Get him so drunk in the Holy Spirit that we have to carry him to the forest or wherever we're going tonight. Put him in a wheelbarrow. He's had an encounter with the angel of the Lord. You have to carry him in a wheelbarrow. Hallelujah. I remember when I got so plastered in the spirit, I would fly across the room and knock over chairs, and I didn't even feel anything, like pain wise, you know. I felt God, and that felt really good. Hallelujah. So Moses picks up his stick again, and it becomes the rod of God. I picked up my guitar again. God was going to give me songs. Moses picked up his son again, became the son of promise again, and God gave us Jesus as a sacrifice. Everything we do, we may not understand it up in here in our natural mind, but the mind of Christ is your mind. Don't be double-minded. You know, don't lean on your own understanding. Lean on His. And leaning, the only way you can lean on His understanding is if you have an encounter with Him and walk with Him in the cool of the day and in the heat of the battle. You don't forsake God just because you're in the middle of a freaking war and you're getting arrows shot into you. You run right to Him. He's the healer. He's your armor. You know, put on the full armor of God. You know, it's, you know what the armor is? It's God. You're putting on God. You're putting on the full armor of God. It's like the breastplate of His righteousness. You're walking in His gospel shoes of peace. You got the belt buckle of truth wrapped around you. You're wrapped around in an atmosphere of truth so that no enemy arrows can fly in, because you got the shield of faith. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. You're not, you're just hearing a scripture from the Bible. That's fine. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, the living God. God is Spirit. So you hear the true voice of your Father. You hear the voice of the Spirit of God speaking to you, and you can, that's your life. That's your daily bread. You can, like I said, I went through the entire Bible 1.5 times in the last week. And people may call that their daily bread. I didn't get fed. I think I did it out of a works mentality. Like, I just want to do this. It was a challenge. No condemnation, man. I'm still growing. But I would have rather sat there for a week straight with one verse where God could speak to me and speak revelation to my heart, open it up. I could step through the verse into the reality of the Spirit of what it's saying, be transformed by what it's saying, step back into the natural, and have that extra, that nugget with me so that I can just sow it into other people. But instead, I got frustrated because I did it out of a works religious mentality. Yeah. There's nothing wrong with doing works as long as they're righteousness. What righteous works, which is spiritual. Doing dead works is doing spiritual things in your flesh apart from the Spirit, and it's just dead. I know all about that. I did dead works for years. I dragged people out of wheelchairs that didn't get healed. You know, I tried casting devils at people that did not leave, because it's the anointing that breaks the yoke. It's not how loud you can yell. I can yell pretty loud, and those demons stayed in those people. Other times I would just be praying, and I, you know, lay hands, and then fire of God hits them, and tears come out of them. The demons come out of them. Like, the tears didn't come until the demons left them. And after that, we told the girl, put up your hands, and we asked, invite the Holy Spirit to come in, and tears started coming down, and it was legit. You didn't feel the demons anymore. Listen, if demons aren't confronting you, check your level of God meter. How much light are you manifesting into that darkness? Be the light of the world. Well, it sounds like everyone's back now. How are you guys doing?
Good, you?
Good, I'm just making a video. Oh! How much are the farmer sausages?
$14.99.
$14.99.
Coffee was on sale.
Yeah, praise God.
Yay!
Coffee's on sale. What was I talking about? I forgot what I was talking about. Light of the world and stuff like that. Yeah, I get distracted easily.
Yeah, you're probably going to edit this part out.
No, I'll leave it in there.
Okay.
I was just talking about Moses laying down a stick and picking it up because God said so. It became the rod of God, and then God could deliver an entire nation with that stick. Moses could barely deliver the sheep. He was looking for his lost sheep in the wilderness or whatever. It got lost. And he got distracted by a burning bush. But that was a good distraction because it was actually God. I think I'm going to have to make another video. I'm at that 44-minute mark, and they get... No, you guys can talk. It's okay. It's interactive. So what's God been saying to you guys lately?
Well, He hasn't been saying anything to us, but He's all around all the time watching.
That's right. God's always all around watching. You know who God is searching for?
The light.
The light in you, Christ in you, the hope of glory. But God the Father is looking for worshipers, right?
Right.
We'll worship Him in the Spirit and truth.
Yeah.
I was just talking about that earlier in my testimony, how God, like, I was in this church building, and I was looking at the outward part. I was looking at the cross, I was looking at the dove, I was looking at the paint on the walls, and of course I was looking at the speakers, the stereo system. And then God said to me, like, everyone's in the midst of worship and just, like, hallelujah stuff, you know. And God said to me, I love this place. What do you think he was saying?
Well, he was probably, like, thanking us for praying, and, like, we should be thanking him for giving us life, because he's our creator. He's the one that brought us in this world.
That's right. Yeah. And that's what God was actually, in a real thankful way, saying, I love this place. Because where those people were, it wasn't the building on the outside.
It's the people that's in the inside.
That's right. It was in Christ, because he was searching for worshipers who will worship in the Spirit. Another way to say that is just really sincerely from your heart to God. Because you just...
I felt warm in there. You can probably feel the presence of God in there.
Yeah. Yeah, the presence of God was there.
Well, you can always feel the presence of God no matter where you go, because God's all around. God is, like, he's everywhere. No matter where you go, he's there with you.
Mm-hmm.
He can be on top of you right now, but you don't know.
Well, right now he's on the inside. The kingdom of God is within you. And then the kingdom of heaven is around you. It's being aware and tuning out from, like, all the natural things and tuning into the Spirit. We're like, wow, there really is the kingdom of God within me. There really is a kingdom of heaven around me. And there's really are angels. And I was talking about some of my angelic encounters, how, like, there's so much power in one angel. It was terrifying.
Yeah, there's, like, more power than beyond compare.
Yeah.
Like,
and that's just one angel.
That's just one angel. Imagine all of them.
How about the creator of them?
Well,
how much power?
Having non-stop power every day, non-stop. Because angels have so much energy.
It's like the power.
Natural energy.
It's like the power of, like, the Spirit and the holiness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so much.
That holiness is what I pursue. Like, I want to not just feel his holiness and his presence, but I want to be able to, like, walk in that daily so that other people can, like, whoa, what was that just went by me? Oh, yeah. That's the holiness of God. You know? And because I feel that when I walk into, like, dollar stores and stuff, like, I'll feel people who walk with God and they carry this substance on them. And it hits me. I'm like, whoa,
yeah,
that person knows God.
Yeah, it's just, like, relieving that people, like, know God.
My video is going to cut out. Okay, God bless your face. I would encourage you to go worship God and surrender everything to him right now so that you can become relevant.